Good morning, and God's blessings to you. It's still the first part of the year. It feels like it's been around for some time, but it's only the 14th of the month. And so we're going to continue on with some thoughts about beginning this new year. And the sermon title this morning is, Don't Forget. Don't forget who you belong to. Don't forget how to live. And then we're going to study the outcome of doing both of those things. This morning, if you would please, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Scripture has this: Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. And so don't forget that. Don't forget that you are among the called of Jesus Christ. You see that phrase, of Jesus Christ, that's the same thing as saying belonging to Jesus Christ. You are the called ones belonging to Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 has it that we are called by the gospel. And the word call in the Greek really means an invitation. So it's like God has sat down up there in heaven, has written out an invitation to you personally to become one with Jesus Christ. Now, there are many who absolutely ignore that invitation. It's like they get junk mail and they just throw it away without even reading it. And so many people do not receive the invitation, the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They bypass all of that and live a life of the world. They are one with the devil rather than one with Jesus Christ. And that's an important configuration. That's an important point to understand and to know. So you are called. And how are we called? Once again, we're called by the gospel. And that is, Jesus declares, unless you believe that I am he, you will surely die in your sins. John 8 in verse 24. Luke 13 and 3, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Like in confession, if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then in baptism, Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's God's call. That's essentially the news about Jesus Christ. So that everyone who listens, everyone who hears, everyone who does the will of God are those ones who are going to be saved and have an eternal home in heaven. Those who don't hear, those who won't repent, those who don't believe, those who won't confess, those who refuse to be baptized to wash away your sins, Acts 22 and verse 16, those who refuse to wash away their sins will be lost. They will have an eternity in hell, time without ending. There are no breaks in hell. There are no lunch periods in hell where you can get away from the burning, from the torment. There's nothing good. There's never anything that you graduate from hell. You can't stay there a number of days and then move on to heaven. It just doesn't work that way. You will be in torment of flames forever and ever and ever. And so we want to make sure that we remember. We want to make sure that we do not forget that we belong to Jesus Christ. John 1 in verse 12, John 1 in verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Can I say that again? As many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to as many as believe in his name. And so that's what we're talking about this very morning. Do you believe in the power of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the authority of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the character of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the goodness that he is, the sacrifice that he made on your behalf? You can't take this lightly, my friends. You can't take this as something that goes in one ear and out the other. This is your entire and complete destiny while you're upon this earth. You've only got one shot at this. You've only got one opportunity in this. And if you miss this opportunity, then you will lose your soul in hell. And I'm telling you how very important this very item is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called his children. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. See what great love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now consider this. If you are truly a child of God, cursing is no longer going to be your thing. If you're a child of God, kindness is going to overtake your life. Sweetness will fill your soul. If you're a child of God, you're going to talk things that cause grace to hearers. If you are a child of God, you're going to live rightly, that is morally, before the world. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it talks about the fact that we are to glorify our God and that the deeds, the good deeds that we do, others will notice the goodness that we do, and they will glorify God, saying, thank you that there are Christians upon this earth, and thank you, O God, for your good blessings. That's the concept. That's what Christians are. Christians are out about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means doing. I've got a sermon simply called Do. And that's the action of Christians everywhere upon this earth. So don't forget who you belong to. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that for just a moment before we move on to the next point. Think about the very fact that Jesus came down from heaven and took on a human body to live out that life in a perfect relationship with the Father of heaven, a perfect relationship with those upon the earth, those that were his friends, those that who were his enemies. God, Jesus, lived a perfect life, and he became the perfect sacrifice for us. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews chapter 10. Without that, there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ did that for me. Remember that invitation I talked to you about? It's like God said, Garland, here's your invitation. I want you to be in heaven with me throughout time. Without time. Time without end. I believed and I accepted his offer. You believed and you accepted his offer. You are a child of God. So don't forget how to live as a child of God, which is our very next point. We want to live in a believing sort of way. If you take a look at 1 John 2 and verse 28 through 29, 1 John chapter 2, back up a chapter there. If you're in 1 John chapter 3, back up a chapter. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Now, little children, live in him. Abide in him. Live in Jesus Christ. Whatever the character of Jesus Christ is, it should be your character. Whatever the nature of Jesus Christ is, it should be your nature. It is your calling to live the way that God would want you to live. Now, children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Why would you do that? Think back to the time when you were a child, perhaps, and you did something wrong, and your mom didn't know it, but you were afraid that she did, and you came home and you were kind of fearful.
You might not have wanted to be around your mom or your dad. I remember my dad was a mostly a stern kind of guy, and I was always my rebellious little personality, I suppose. And my grades were not always the best. And I said, "Dad, A, B, C, D, I'm still in the top four." So, he didn't think that was very funny. So, but I thought it was hilarious. But that's a different sort of thing. And, but anyway, so we want to do the kind of things. We don't want to shrink back from our mother or our father. And we don't want to shrink back from our God. Because, you know, if I shrink back from my mom or my dad because I've done something bad, I will continue to live. They might beat me or might give me nuggies or whatever the case might be. They're not going to do away with me. They're not going to kill me. But if I am ashamed of going before God, because it's very scary to go before God with sin on your soul. So you want to be able to have that removed so that you can be with God in confidence and in love. Now, verse 29 goes on to say this. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. So check your life. Take a moment right now. Reflect back this last week. Reflect back this last month. Reflect back this last year and see how your life was lived. Did you share righteousness with Jesus Christ? Or did you not share righteousness with Jesus Christ? It makes all the difference in the world. It goes on to say here in this verse that if you practice righteousness, it is an obvious sort of thing that you are born of him. Did you sin this last week? Did you make a practice of sin this last week? Did you practice sin this last month? Were you practicing sin mostly throughout the year, last year? Then you have to question your birth. This is the only way I know that a person can be born illegitimately in Christ. You can be baptized to wash away your sins, but then if you do not live according to righteousness, I'm not sure your birth is valid. A Christian who is baptized to wash away their sins removes their sin from their life and practices righteousness the days of their life and will make a firm commitment to do so from here on out. Let me tell you this as well, just as a side note. There are no illegitimate children born. Every child born is legitimate. They might not know where their father is. They might not know who their mom is. But every child born on earth is legitimate. They have a soul that needs to be fed. That's just a side note. Just thought I'd pass that along to you. Galatians 6 and verse 2 has this, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. What's the law? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, spirit, and body. And what's the second law to it? To love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10 verse 27. So you can go there and you can read that. That is what Jesus is saying. That's his very words. And so when you understand that and get that down, then you understand the things that you are to do. So treating your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. And I got to tell you, doing that takes some time. It might take some resources. You know, if you see somebody that has a flat tire, an obvious flat tire on the road, are you just going to pass them by and say, "Sorry, bud, see you later"? Or are you going to stop maybe and say, "Is there some way that I can help you? Do you need a cell phone? Do I need to call anybody for you?" You don't have to put yourself in a dangerous position. You just have to do something for those who need help. And there are plenty of opportunities. I guarantee you can go up and down the road here in Bay City, and you can see people that need help. And so you must do what it is that you can do for them as you have the opportunity and see such. So don't forget
how to live as a Christian this year in 2024. And then our last point this morning is this. What's the outcome? I know I belong to Jesus Christ.
I know that I'm supposed to live as a servant of Christ, serving others as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know that I'm supposed to be the kind of person that God wants me to be, but what's the outcome of all of this?
We'll take a look at 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. As a matter of fact, we're going to read a few verses right in front of that. In verse 6, in the fact that you have your home in heaven that is reserved for you, in light of that fact, verse 6 then, in this you greatly rejoice. I've got a home in heaven. That's something you can shout out every day, every morning when you arise from bed. I've got a home in heaven. That's exciting news. That is great news. That is fantastic news. That's the best news that you could possibly receive, because you know that life on this earth is short. And if it's short, then you best need to look upon what's going to happen after this life. And that is face up to reality with Jesus Christ in that day of judgment. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Life hurts, my friends. There are sorrows, there's sickness, there's all kinds of issues, there's financial issues, there's political issues, there are all kinds of issues that affect us day to day. And sometimes those things really hit home hard. Don't you know people who are battling cancer? Don't you know people who have lost their homes? Don't you know people that are in some sort of dire strait? And so, yes, there are various issues that we are distressed by, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold. Now, can I say that again? The proof of your faith is more precious than gold.
Fort Knox, according to some people, has no gold whatsoever in it. Other people say Fort Knox is where all the gold for the United States is stored. So what's the value of that gold that's stored in Fort Knox? It's a great sum. It's a number bigger than I can say. I can count to 100. I learned to do that in the second grade. That's where I topped out on arithmetic. So the big numbers, the high numbers, numbers that are much bigger than I can think of and say, the price of gold. Your faith is more precious than all the gold in the world. How is that? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. You, my friends, are tested by fire every day. If you don't have an issue, you're about to go into an issue. And if you're on top of an issue, you're about to come out of an issue. And what's going to come next after that? You're going to go into another issue. So what you need to do is be true to Jesus Christ. It says that your faith may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can you do that? If Jesus were to return just this moment, would you praise him? Would you glorify him? Would you get down on your knees and honor him as he lifts you up from the sky? And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of joy, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Let's say that one more time. Receiving, obtaining, getting, holding on to, grabbing, obtaining the outcome of your faith. Your faith is more precious than all the gold in the world. And the result of that is that your faith is going to result in your home in heaven with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My friends, what's the alternative? If you do not trust Jesus Christ, you know, faith is just more than believing that Jesus walked the earth.
Faith is believing that Jesus not only walked the earth, but he did all of those miracles, and all the things that he said are true. Faith is more than just believing. Faith is also trusting, because that's what God requires of you in faith. Without trust, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
You must have faith, and that faith must be more precious than any penny that you might hold in your possession.